The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection, came forward and put this question to Jesus, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us, if someone's brother dies leaving a wife but no child, his brother must take the wife and raise up descendants for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married a woman but died childless. Then the second and the third married her. And likewise, all the seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. Now at the resurrection, whose wife will that woman be? For all seven have been married to her." Jesus said to them, "The children of this age marry and remarry, but those who are deemed worthy to attain to the coming age and to the resurrection of the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. They can no longer die, for they are like angels, and they are the children of God, because they are the ones who will rise. That the dead will rise, even Moses made known in the passages about the bush, when he called out, 'Lord,' and 'the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' And he is not God of the dead, but of the living. For to him all are alive." The Gospel of the Lord. Before I get into this homily, I'm going to read you this letter from Bishop Molloy. It has a lot to do with actually what was talked about in this gospel reading. Once I read this message, you'll understand. And I'll probably go into a little bit of catechesis. It will be for the homily, something a little bit different. This is the letter that Bishop Molloy wanted every priest at every Mass this weekend to be read. So everybody should be getting read this message. Bishop Molloy has to say, "Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I take this opportunity to address all the faithful gathered at Mass this weekend. As you probably know, the Illinois legislature has voted this week to redefine marriage within our state, abandoning the understanding found in nature and in our faith that God has established this institution as a lifelong commitment between one man and one woman. That commitment was written within it the joining of the differences of male and female, physical, psychological, and spiritual, in a manner that alone can bring about new life and so the continuance of the human race. Astonishingly, some of those who voted for this human redefinition did so by invoking Pope Francis or their Catholic faith. We must not allow ourselves to be deceived. This decision, however well intended, has no basis in nature and certainly not in the teaching or the practice of our Catholic faith. To quote Pope Francis, when he was Archbishop of Buenos Aires, and a similar bill under consideration, and he quotes Pope Francis, quote, "Let us not be naive. This is not simply a political struggle, but it is an attempt to destroy God's plan and to confuse and deceive the children of God," end quote from Pope Francis. Going forward, we must continue to be clear, resolute, and positive. As Catholics, we are called to support and live marriage as God has inscribed it into the nature of the world, Our task now is to truly live and teach the reality of marriage and family as professed by our church with joy and faith. No human vote can override God's law. Let us remember as well that we are called by Christ to love and respect all of our brothers and sisters. That means all without exception. But we cannot do so at the expense of abandoning how God, in His love, has made us and made the world. With gratitude for your prayers and your love for your Catholic faith, I am sincerely yours in Christ, Most Reverend David J. Molloy, Bishop of Rockford. And so that was the letter given by Bishop Molloy. And I figured this is a good time just to take the opportunity to teach you what marriage is. This is really important because we've forgotten a lot about marriage. Maybe some of you can remember maybe when you were married at one time receiving some of the catechesis, and maybe some of the dust has covered off those pages in your mind. And so it's just good to remind ourselves what marriage is all about and to remind ourselves the teachings of the church. Why does the church teach that? So there are actually a couple different ways in which we can explain what marriage is. See, we need to be able to explain marriage to people who don't have faith and people who do have faith, believers. And so this is our task. It's not just the task of the priest. You're the ones who are hearing all the people gossiping about it and talking about it. When I'm around, everybody all of a sudden clams up and shuts up and nobody says anything, right? So I have to educate you so that you can explain it to other people, your children, your grandchildren, because I can guarantee you, your grandchildren probably never got any of it. You're lucky if your children got it, because quite frankly, I didn't get it. I never got the teachings of the church. And only through because I went to the seminary that I actually got the truth of what marriage is. So there are two different ways of explaining what marriage is. There's what you call philosophy, and then there's theology. Philosophy uses human reasoning and science. Theology uses scripture and divine revelation. So philosophy is what we use for atheists. I mean, we can use theology, we can use the Bible to atheists, but it doesn't mean anything to them. To an atheist, it has no authority. And actually, if anything, if we go right to the Bible to an atheist, it actually might weaken our argument. Because to an atheist, the Bible is babble talk. That's just old stuff people did centuries ago. You got to get new. You got to get in with what the science says to an atheist. So we have to be able to explain things not just from what the Pope says, but we have to understand nature. And that's why the Pope says, in our very nature, the natural law. Natural law. That's actually what our founding fathers believed in, the founders of the United States. The natural law basically says that you look at nature, and nature will tell you the purpose of a thing. And it'll also tell you what is healthy and what is good for that thing. Give you an example. The organ of my eye. What does my eye do? And what is good for my eye? Well, the nature of my eye is to see, just scientifically speaking. Just have nothing to do with faith, right? Scientifically speaking, my eye is to help me see. Now, if I go around poking my eye, that is bad because it keeps my eye from doing its nature, what it was made to do, to help me see. So now, if I go around and we make legislation saying, yeah, you know, a person has a right to poke their eye all they want, okay, it really doesn't mean much to me, but it doesn't make much sense. Now, if somebody's addicted to poking their eye, you wouldn't make a law, or if poking your eye gave you brain chemical reaction where you're all of a sudden you're infatuated with poking your eye, you don't want that to be legislated as a good thing. Right? I mean, that just makes common sense. That's philosophy. When it comes to, I don't mean to get graphic or anything, the sexual organs. What does it do? The reproductive organs. It reproduces. That is its nature, scientifically speaking. That is the nature of it. It has nothing to do with science. It has nothing to do with anything else. Just good, hard, solid science. Give me the facts. Reproduction organs are made for reproduction. What does that say about marriage? You look at the complementarity, physically speaking, and how a male was designed and how a female was designed. They complement each other, and they help each other to reproduce. So scientifically speaking, I mean, it's pretty obvious, pretty point blank, flat out, marriage is for one man and one woman. Why one man, one woman, and lifelong, as Bishop Molloy said? Because when you reproduce children, you got to take care of them throughout their whole life, not just until they get 18 years old and fly the coop. You still have to teach them. I mean, how many of you also have to take care of grandchildren? I mean, you're not done just because they've flown the coop. It's a lifelong marriage between one man and one woman. One man and one woman, not multiple men, multiple women. Most women don't have a problem with, they don't want multiple men, you know? But one man, one woman, because it would be chaotic. It would be totally chaotic if there were more. It'd be confusing to the child. And so a child has a right to have one father, one mother, one place of origin, not many places. It's too confusing. And when it gets confusing like that, it brings about an insecurity in the child. Where am I from? Was I conceived out of love or was I not? So that's just talking about the nature. Now, when you get to theology, this is where it gets to be mind-blowing. No Catholic should ever abandon our faith because of this. It is beautiful. We are made in God's image and likeness. Male and female, made in God's image. Male and female, that's marriage. You are, as a couple, in the image of God. In the image of God. Male and female. So when you have same-sex marriages, it distorts the image of God. It says, if you got two females being married, it says we don't need males to be an image of God. Male has nothing to do with being an image of God. If you have two males being married together, you're saying we don't need women to be an image of God. Women are not an image of God. And so it degrades the other sex, theologically speaking. Moreover, marriage is a sacrament. What is a sacrament? A sacrament is an invisible sign, is a visible sign of an invisible reality. A visible sign of an invisible reality. When I baptize, the visible sign is the water. The water pouring over somebody who's not been baptized. Water cleansing, right? It's a visible sign that I'm cleansing a baby. But the reality is happening is that that child is being cleansed spiritually. And that is in fact happening. That child is being cleansed spiritually. All sin will be gone. Marriage. What is the symbol in marriage? What are you doing? Now this is mind-blowing. This is the one thing that's beautiful about marriage, and this is why the church protects marriage. It's awesome. It is not a lesser vocation. Marriage is, when you say your vows, they are vows of love. You are professing your love for one another. That's the invisible reality. You're saying those words as something visible. The love. When you consummate the marriage,
the marital act. Every sacrament is a personal encounter with Jesus Christ himself. Baptism, confirmation, and marriage. It is a personal encounter with Jesus Christ, with God the Almighty himself. The love you have for each other as spouses did not come from you. God is love, and he is the source of all love. That love you have for your spouse is not yours, but has been trusted by God to you to give to your spouse. God gave you that love so that you could love your spouse. That means that the marital act is meant for you to give God's love to your spouse. It is an experience of the very love of God. You have been given the power through the marital act to convey God's infinite love to your spouse. That is the essence of the marital act. That is the very essence of marriage. That is awesome. How you love each other as husbands and wife brings down the love of God for each other. You empower each other to love each other and to love in the world. That is the sanctity, the utter sacredness of marriage. You call down heaven to your spouse through the marital act, literally. All those singers and the singers, they got it right, but they got it wrong. They're using it and they're abusing it. It is something so holy. It is designed by God. That's why the church has a right, full right, to give you the definition of marriage. And no man has a right to try to redefine something like that. God created us. God created the world. If he were to contradict himself in creation and contradict himself in the teachings, if they were contradicting, he'd be contradicting himself. He cannot contradict himself. He's perfect. He knows all things. This is the good news. And this is the good news that the church wants to convey to the people in the world. Now it's your turn. It's your turn to go out and bring them the good news, and explain to them the glory of marriage.